Yes, I am Janice Diamond, and this is more like it. Now I'm at home. I have two very rambunctious children. They are 4 and 5. They love to make messes, make all kinds of crazy concoctions with their food. And they have the rare talent of needing to know questions like, what is the universe, when I am on a very important phone call? But I do love them. That's the best part about this. I wish I could do this at home. I became a Christian when I was 9, and I have lived a life as a Christian with determination. It was never a doubt in my mind that God was in control of my life, and I allowed Him to be. I lived a very cheerful, happy, content. It seemed like everything in my life went my way, and it did. And I was in many Christian leadership positions, women's ministry, Sunday school, youth group, Christian choirs. I wrote songs and poems to praise the Lord. Of course, none of them are publishable. They are my own private prayer time. I even wrote a poem to God to thank Him for that time of the month, because it was a reminder to me that my body would someday bear children. And I was so happy about that. You know, I want you to know how God has worked in this conference. A month ago, I wrote down, I couldn't stop writing what I wanted to say. And the verse that came to mind was 1 Peter 3:1-6, Rachel. And I couldn't believe it when she was talking about that. And it has been helpful to me to define what I wanted to say. The first blow to my spiritual life was the year that I was married. And I know that's a sad thing to say. My husband is a loving, kind, wonderful man. But happily ever after isn't quite how the movies make it. And marriage is hard work. And not only that, I kind of found out I was a little bit selfish and maybe a little bit defensive. So when Rachel said the umpire, I just knew that was me. Because I'm always right in there saying, foul play, and offsides, and roughing the kicker, and all those things. I call them right out, and loud and clear, I don't hesitate. And I also make sure that everyone in the stands are aware of all those foul calls. And just in case you came in late for the game, I'll fill you in on all the plays that have already passed, so you'll know what the score is. So 1 Peter 3:1-6 really crushed me. It pierced me this summer to read it. Not that I hadn't heard about being submissive before, but I needed to hear it this summer. I definitely was an umpire. And when she mentioned the boiling inside, you know, I have felt that way for years. And so one of the reasons I wanted to bring that up is because I am at a phase of young children, and I think what happens is our husbands are striving in their careers, and they want to make the best that they can, and that's where their energies are. And we've just had a family, and we're exhausted and tired, and you know, we kind of feel like slaves sometimes when, you know, everybody's will is in front of ours, and if we do have time to think about what it is we want, half the time we don't know what it is. And I think that, you know, there is a cause for turmoil and that in a marriage, young children. I think it's fairly common. So I started to read 1 Peter 3:1-6. And the first thing it said was to be submissive to your own husbands. And, of course, my response was, well, I'm the spiritual one. I'm the one going to church and the Bible study and reading my Bible. And my husband is hardly ever here on Sunday, and I could rattle it all off for you. I've got the list. But then the next one is, even if they are disobedient to the word. So there goes that excuse. And I realize that, you know, I may be the only one to show Jesus to my husband. I have worried and fretted about the world that he works in. He's in television, and it is a secular world. And you know, I might be the only one to show him Christ, and here I am not doing what is right because I'm frightened by fear. And the fear is definitely, I won't get what I want. And so I am focusing. All summer I have had to read this every day. And as far as the umpire goes, I found some really, two really neat verses for that. And they're both out of Proverbs 18. I hope I don't steal your thunder, Rachel. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. And the other is, he who gives an answer before he hears, it is a folly and shame to him. So, you know, and it finally hit me, why am I wasting my time trying to get a man to meet my needs when he's not equipped to do that? And I think, again, in 1 Peter we see, you know, slaves serve your masters, whether they're good masters or bad masters, and children serve your parents. And the whole thrust of it is not the person we're serving, but the God that we're serving. And so it's a point in my life that I feel like I, at this stage in my life, it's the most important thing for me to focus on, so that when my husband comes home, away from the world, he has a little quiet place where Jesus lives. And so I wanted to focus on that because I think, as women, that it's a very hard thing for us to hear, especially in today's world where we're told, make sure your own needs are met, and you need to get time to yourself, which I don't discredit those things, but I think we're so busy getting our own needs met that we've become very selfish. And I promised myself I wouldn't use we. I turn it back to me. This is what I'm learning. The second thing I wanted to talk about is, at this stage in the game, I really feel like an important thing is my outreach. Now, I wake up early in the morning. I go to bed late at night. I'm wiping messes. I'm wiping bottoms. I'm scolding. I'm training. I'm moving things. I'm constantly in a state of movement. And at any one time, somebody could come by to my house and it looks like a tornado has hit it. So I never quite get ahead. And now I'm supposed to give time for my outreach. And this is another one I struggle with because of my fatigue. But when I was 9, someone in the exact same situation took the time to tell me about Jesus. And I accepted him, and it changed my life forever. And she not only took the time to tell me, she had a neighborhood Bible study and told all the children, my brothers and sisters, first learned about Jesus through her. And then that wasn't enough. She started a women's Bible study in the neighborhood with all the women. Every woman in that neighborhood came. And she started to tell them about Jesus. And my mom was in that group. She said the first year there was so much hurt and loneliness and anger and so forth. They really barely had a chance to get into the Bible because of just needing to be heard. But she continued to be there, and she continued to tell them about Jesus. And when they were ready, they heard. And she told them. When they were ready, she told them. You know, she moved away when I was 13 or so. And I've always wondered what happened to her, because I would like her to see what happened to me. You know, to see the fruits of her labor in one person. And I don't know if you know the song that came out a few years that says, thank you for giving to the Lord. That one. It's basically about a person who goes up to heaven, and all these people come up to him from heaven and thank them because the little effort that they did on earth brought that person to heaven. And every time I hear that song, I think of this woman. And I wish that I could go up and tell her thank you, because her time really did change my life. Now, I'm busy at home, but I'm really trying to look for opportunities. Carrying in groceries for a neighbor who's sick, and I take their child to the doctors because they can't make it. Or just calling them up because I know they had a rough day. Or the Avon lady comes over, and I invite her in for lemonade every time. And I know she's busy rushing around, but she likes that. And we sit and talk, and yes, my house is a mess most of the time, but I still invite her in because my neighbors know that I'm human. But I want them to know that I'm also a disciple of Christ. And I will always remember the woman who took the time to tell a loud, rambunctious, obnoxious 9-year-old child who hung around her house, maybe too much, I don't know. She took the time to tell me about Jesus, the God who loved her.